environmental.
First, let's talk about the food before we let you know where you can feast on it. When was the last time you had giant Alaskan king crab legs? These babies are at least a pound each, and they're served sliced open, so all you do is dig out the meat and dip it in a seasoned, hot, clarified butter. That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Open for lunch Tuesday through Sunday and dinner 7 days a week and serving only USDA prime beef. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
Hollywood Casino. Come play where the rewards and thrills never end. You can never have too much of a good thing. With over 2,000 of the hottest slots, 80 table games, 7 premier dining outlets, and newly remodeled luxury hotel suites, the thrills really are endless. Hollywood Casino St. Louis. Must be 21. Gambling problem in Missouri? Call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a bit of pan?
Is this a new song? I don't recall hearing this before. Oh, brand new. Yeah. I like it.
Life can be so sweet. On sunny side of the street. I used to.
It's going
to
be a good day today. I can feel it.
With those blues.
People are going to laugh. They're going to have a good time.
Not afraid.
Then they'll tune into our show.
America, love it or leave it.
Yeah, that's right. Love it or leave it.
Doggone it.
Yeah.
Doggone it.
Troublemakers.
Bernie Sanders will get it all figured out if he doesn't die first.
Oh.
See, I knew you were going to say that.
You know, well, listen, let me tell you something. If this guy would win in his first year, in less than 1 year in office, he turns 80. Okay, which means he got 4 years in office, so he'll be 83 at the end of the first term. I mean, come on.
To be the first presidential candidate ever to have a presidential press conference sponsored by Depends.
You know, I think it's okay to kind of make fun of the guy because, come on, I mean, what's he thinking here? 80 years old, getting just the first year in office. That's not...
why not?
More than any other election. Let me welcome people first. Welcome everybody to the February 20th edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. This is where the vice presidential nominee really is important because, you know, the chance that Bernie might croak in office, whoever the vice president is, gonna be, you hope that guy's not 80 also. That better be somebody that, you know, the people who voted for Bernie are gonna want as the president because there is that chance. And I think Bernie said yesterday that, and there are a lot of 90-year-old people that have more energy than 60-year-olds. Well, I believe that. I think there are 90-year-olds that have more energy than I do and did when I was 40 or 50. I've never been an energetic person. I like to sleep late. I'm lazy. I don't like exercise. You know, all the things that are probably going to kill me.
He's only 5 years older than Trump.
So that's true. But Trump is also in his second. He's got 2 years in. So when Trump finishes 4 years, he'll be 74 or something, not 83. You know. So there's a big difference there. Mm-hmm. But I'm amazed that. I read an article this morning in USA Today about how hard it is for somebody who is let go, who's laid off in their 50s, to get a job. Well, I don't know why. Why would you look at somebody who's 50 or 55 and go, well, you're done, when our president is, what, 72 or something? And you got guys like Sanders running at 80 and people running big corporations who are still in their 70s or even 80 and still look at Warren Buffett and these guys. I don't think it's over for you when you're 50 or 55, but it's a tough time to get sent out to pasture by somebody you work for. I got a feeling we're going to have a good day today. I'll tell you what we're going to do.
I'm getting ready to make that phone call, but check your screen. I sent you a message.
I don't know what it means. Yeah, I don't know what the message means. It's something to do with my...
That's good radio.
I don't know. I don't know.
Hang on a second, Frank. Can you say that
There's
again?
There's a master.
You said.
No, I'm not going to say it again because you'll record it.
No, I'm not. No, sorry. No, the I think the sound is going out in my headphones.
No, you don't win. Because my is not like Monday. My doesn't have ma in it. So what you did wasn't enough to get you the trophy my is not a ma word. Okay. So there's still apparently much that you need to learn about how this works.
I win.
He signed your check, Miami. Just go with it.
No, I win because I win. My is not. We went through this. does not have ma in it. You can't say my.
Well,
you can say Monday. You can say money. You can say mother. Those are ma words. My is not. You blew it.
All right. I'm sorry. No, you know what? No, I'm not sorry.
You've won enough. You've won enough recently. So just deal with it. Does anybody have anything to say? Oh, before we get... Dan, are you going to get our guest on the phone?
I'm getting it right now.
I'm not going to start the Burke segment, because if I do, I'll have to interrupt it. We're going to get to Julie Wilson.
She's
on
there.
The phone. Julie is our a travel agent. Before I put her on here, we're going to do something we haven't really done much at all. We've hardly talked about our trip that's coming up June 26th when we leave to go on this Rhine River cruise over in Europe. And I've never been to Europe. I told you that. So I'm green. And I also said the other day, I made the mistake of saying this thing was $10,000 a couple. It's not. It's 9,000. And that's for two people. I'm sorry. Well, 4,500 round numbers per person. So let's say $9,000 for the couple. This will be our 20th trip with listeners. And Julie has taken care of, I believe, 18 the last 18 of those 20 trips, because the first 2 years we were at the other station and the station put the trip together and we had a mediocre travel agent. So would you please welcome now the world's greatest travel agent, Julie Wilson. Julie.
That's a nice introduction.
Well, it's true. And what I'd like to do here is, one, let people know we have only four cabins left. You sold like 35 cabins or something. So we have four left. And I know it's in June, but that's not very far away. We're 4 months away from leaving on this trip. And I want people to understand, because here's what's going to happen. And Julie, you know this, it happens every year. People dunce around and they wait. And then they call when it's too late and go, well, what do you mean it's sold out? I wanted to go on that trip. Here's the deal, folks. We have four cabins left. I don't know a whole lot about what we're going to see, but I've read it. I've gone online on YouTube, and I've looked at this ship. It's unbelievable. I know we leave June 26th, and we see four countries. We see the Netherlands, Germany, France, and Switzerland. Never been there. Looking forward to it. And we start in Amsterdam, and I'll let you take it from there. This is a ship, correct me if I'm wrong, our group of listeners will make up about half the ship. I think it's 165 passengers, right?
It is correct.
And so we're going to own this thing because half the ship will be us. And then I'll let you tell them a little bit more about what they can expect. It's not an all inclusive. We need to make that clear. In other words, everything that you need to have included is covered in this price. The airfare and the transfers and blah, blah, blah. And your ship cabin, yeah. Everything. So outside of that, if you want to drink 12 drinks a day, you're going to have to pay for the ones that aren't with dinner and included. What else do they need to know?
Correct. Right. All right. Well, let's start at the beginning. Flying into Amsterdam, we will overnight on the ship. Actually, and then take a city tour with a canal tour, which is amazing. If you haven't been to Amsterdam, it is very much a water taxi city. There's boats in all of these canals. There's bicycles everywhere. very, you know, few cars. It seems like there's way more pedestrians around, so the bicycles are what, I mean, they have parking garages for bicycles. Let's just give you that. It's okay. A bit crazy with all of the things to see and do, of course, in Amsterdam. Getting on the cruise, of course, their first stop in Cologne, Germany. It is, I've been there, it is a beautiful city, and to actually be able to sail up to these cities and actually dock right there and be able to get off the ship and you're right in town. I mean, there's no transportation really needed to just get out and see what's right there.
Because they're all small, they're all kind of small towns, right? I mean, it's like yes, getting off and walking around Clayton or something.
Right, or St. Charles if you're sailing down the Mississippi. Yes,
right.
Right down, you know, in historic downtown St. Charles. So, yeah, I mean, you're looking at very historic stops along the way. We stop in Cochem, Germany. There are included tours, mostly walking tours, and city tours that are included on all of these ports. We do have two or three optional tours that are going to be offered, of course, later down the line.
And anybody has the right to not. Anybody has the right to not go on any of these that are included.
Oh,
if you don't, if you just want to relax on the ship or walk through town, you don't have to do the tours.
That's exactly true. Very true. And I will mention that on these cruises, we do separate the groups and we do offer a slow walkers group because I know that that is concerning to some of your older guests. So we do put together one group that will be, you know, a little bit slower paced than the, so they don't feel so rushed.
Frank will be in that group.
Smart. Well, you bet I'm the front of the line on that group.
Well, I'll let you hold the
Tim, don't laugh. You'll be with me.
Whatever.
Yeah, you'll be with me.
Yeah. So stopping in Rüdesheim, Germany, they have a magnificent Siegfried Mechanical Musical Instrument Museum that we visit while we're there.
Ooh.
Basically, that is your self-playing pianos, your self-playing violins, all of your old, I mean, the oldest ways of hearing music are in this museum. It is, for Dan, is going to be amazing. He's going to love
it. He'll be in heaven.
I just thought it was the most amazing thing to see all of these different instruments that only the wealthy could afford to have in their homes to listen to music.
Hey, so, this Cologne, Germany thing, is Cologne, Germany, is the reason, is the cologne like women wear, is there any connection there? Did it?
No.
Okay.
No, unfortunately not. Just the same name, and it's probably pronounced a little different with a little asterisk on the end, and we Americanized the name.
Okay, so pick it up there. Amsterdam, Germany, and what?
After leaving Rüdesheim, we go to Mannheim, Germany, which, of course, I'm sure you're familiar with Mannheim.
Oh, yeah, they make steamrollers there.
Right.
Idiot.
Great history there. We do a Heidelberg tour, which includes some ruins in the Heidelberg Castle at that stop. And again, we're at some of these ports two in one day. You know, we're in Mannheim, Germany in the morning, but yet in the afternoon we're doing something in Speyer, Germany. So your lunches and things are pretty much always going to be included on the ship because we might be moving from port to port. However, if you choose not to go back to the ship and not do lunch and take more free time and eat at a local restaurant, of course, we encourage that. We just don't want you to miss the ship.
I know this is gonna make me sound like a real greenhorn here, but one of the things that it's going to be interesting to me is, look, we've done 20 trips, 18 with you, and the listeners who go are always wonderful, but we've always gone places where lots of people speak English. Like, you go to Mexico, obviously Jamaica, you go to, they speak English. Even in Mexico, you're never far away from somebody who speaks English. In this case, we're talking, you know, German and French, and it's going to be interesting to me to see how that works out.
Well, it will surprise you then, because most of these places are tourist stops. So most of the people in the shops are going to have broken English. They're going to be able to communicate with you. You might stop someone on the street that might not be able to communicate with you, but most of the people in restaurants and things like that, their English is pretty good.
You've never met Tim or Limey, have you?
No, I have not.
You know, they're going to be going. They're going to be going on the trip too, and you'll get to meet them and spend some time with them. The only person they might not understand is Limey. Limey, say hello to Julie.
Hello, Julie.
See, he's got a British accent.
They're going to know how to speak my language. All right, World War II solved that problem.
Jeez. You'll probably get along better than any of the rest of us over there. But no, I figured that, and I noticed in the brochure, the cruise director on the ship, that's going to be, he's going to speak English. We're making up half the ship. So it's not like anybody at any time is going to be completely lost with nobody to speak to. They're all over the place, people that speak English.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. All right. Pick it up from there.
All right. So, the last stop in Strasbourg, France, which is on the border of France and Germany.
Are we going to the place in France where the women wear no pants? I hope so. I think we'll get to see enough of that in Amsterdam. We don't have to go to that place in France.
Yes, red light district has your name written all over it.
Oh, boy.
So Basel is actually where the cruise will end. We'll take a city tour there and then transfer to Lucerne, where we'll actually spend the evening overnight in Lucerne at a hotel and fly home the next day from Zurich.
So that hotel room is included in the package, right?
Yes. This is a complete package. It does include airfare. I can send email the detailed brochure to anyone who wants to call for further details. We do have the ship schematic on the detailed flyer, and I can let you know exactly which four cabins are available for sale.
Yeah, and that's it, folks. There are only four. We've eaten up the rest of them. We got a bunch of great people going with us. You will never travel if it's your first time. And there'll be some people who are first-time travelers, because this will more than likely be our last trip. It's not a station trip. It's an AM and the PM, large morning show in the afternoon trip. And this will probably be our last one. So
it's been a fabulous run, I'll say.
It has. And I know a lot of regular people are going, like half the group have traveled once, two, three, four, or five times before or more. But there's some new people. And anybody who's thinking about going, let me just tell you something. You're going to be comfortable with this group in about 5 minutes. It'll start in St. Louis at the airport, because we're all like-minded people. We like the same jokes. We have the same sense of humor. And we're AM and the PM. You will have a blast. You'll make new friends who will remain friends when you come back to St. Louis. And from what I've seen on YouTube, and I've pulled up several times this ship, the scenery, the entire time we're on this boat, the scenery keeps changing, and it's breathtaking.
It really is. It is a phenomenal way to see Europe cruising down the river. And I also want to mention about the ship, we are sailing on Lufner Cruise Lines, which is who we actually charter the ship with. The sailing is on their Amadeus Silver II ship. It is one of their newer vessels. And it's just amazing to me how they can take everything off of the top deck, tell everyone they have to go down below, and lower the wheelhouse into the bottom of the ship so that they can just pass, a bridge. So, I mean, just the mechanics of the whole thing is also amazing. The locks that you go through, all of the knowledge that some people don't even know exist. You know, they pull into this giant cement thing, and they're like, what are we doing? And they know nothing about what a lock is and how you raise your ship to get to the next level of the river. So it's just really a phenomenal trip. And I will mention also that all meals on board the ship are included. Wine is included with dinner. You know, you can't ask for much more. You can bring bottled water and soda on from any port. You don't have to buy it on board the ship. They don't regulate that. You can have alcohol in your room. They don't regulate how much you can bring on board the ship. So at any of these places, you can stop and buy bottles of wine, bring them on. You can drink them in your room. Of course, you know, they don't really want you to bring them to dinner, but I don't think we have a problem with too many people doing that if you talk to me first. But
I would imagine that it's expected that you tip your cabin steward or whatever, right?
Yes, gratuities can be added. We do suggest a certain amount, and we will go through those details at our document get together.
That's the other thing I want to mention. I want to mention that. We're going to have a, we always do this, we're going to have a get-together with us and probably just about everybody who's going on the trip. Very few people don't show up for this, so we're all going to meet each other at a restaurant yet to be named on an evening after the show, and we'll meet. And you'll have it. Julie will be there. You'll have a chance to ask her all the questions you want to ask her. And we usually do that, what, about 3 weeks before we leave or something?
Yeah, I'm thinking it'll be the first week of June is what I'm shooting for.
Right, right. Well, hey, Julie, you're, yeah.
Dave. I just got on YouTube and I looked at the ship, and it's kind of going through pictures of everything. There's a Strauss deck on this ship.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
You are actually on Strauss deck, Dan Strauss.
I am?
You're on that deck. Yes.
How about that? How about that?
Wow.
See, it's meant to be.
So I own the deck.
All right, Julie, these four cabins, I predict these four cabins will be gone pretty soon, and you have never failed to be more than anybody would expect a travel agent to be, and people need to know that. If you're in great hands, if you're with Julie Wilson, and I'm gonna let you go. And Julie, thank you, and we'll talk again. I'm sure, and I look forward to the get together before the trip.
Okay, we'll see you guys soon. Have a great day.
Bye bye. She's fantastic. And four cabins. That's it. $9,000. Let's just do round numbers, okay? It's like $8,998. That's $9,000. But I do think you should be prepared to tip. It is not like an all-inclusive resort. If you want to have five or six drinks every day, the ones outside of dinner and lunch, you'll have to buy. So take some cash, take care of the people who take care of you, and all in all, for the money, this is a great deal and a great trip. But what makes it a great deal is that you get to travel with other St. Louis area people. I think maybe a couple people from way outside of St. Louis who listen, you know, through the app. But it's, for the most part, it's St. Louis area people who are like-minded. And again, this is number 20. This will be 20 of these trips, and we always take 80 to 100 people. This time it'll be about 80 of us. And again, don't think of this ship as a massive Royal Caribbean ship with a skating rink. I just talked to a friend of mine who just came back from a cruise, and it was a Norwegian line, and they had a go-kart track on the ship, and he said it was like a major big deal, fast, not kiddie go-karts on the cruise ship. And he was on the 14th deck. I mean, these things can be massive. This is not the ship we're going on. This ship is much classier, much nicer. The food is unbelievable. It's 165 people. Those other ships, 3,000-4,000 passengers, 165, and we will make up half that ship. And I'm going to tell you something. That makes a big difference. One of these trips we went on, it was number 7 or 8 or something. Dan, I don't remember the resort, but it was a resort that only accommodated like 300 guests. We took over that place. Oh, they treated us like royalty because we accounted for like half of the rooms that were booked. Same thing on this ship. I feel bad. I feel kind of bad for the other 80 or so people on the ship who aren't AM and the PM. They're going to feel kind of like out of it. They're not going to know what we're talking about. Too bad for them. So again, June 26th, we come back, leave to come back from Lucerne, Switzerland, July 5th. So figure 10 days, about $9,000 for two people. And if you can't afford it, I understand. I wish everybody could. But I know that some of you can, and if you haven't planned a great vacation, this could be your big vacation for the next 5 years. You may make this the one. And even if it doesn't fall on an anniversary, you can call it that anyway. Doesn't have to be on the exact date. So that's it. Rhine River Cruise, only four cabins. I am stunned, and I told Julie, I'm really surprised how quickly we sold 35 cabins. But every trip, every one of these, we sell them out, and I'm not kidding. After 19 of these that we've done, I can only think of one or two instances where there was an issue with one of our travelers. Only one or two, and it wasn't an issue with the ship. But we've only been on one other cruise. It wasn't an issue with the resort or with. It was an issue with passengers only on a couple of occasions. And Dan, I know you'll know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. who just lost their minds and drank too much. We had a listener who brought his sister, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
And this is only a couple of years ago. She decides to steal cash from the hotel check-in
desk. Front desk.
Whoa.
She crawled up on the counter, went over, and was taking cash out of the register behind the check-in desk at the hotel.
Yep.
And they caught her on camera. She's with us. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe they didn't throw her in jail out of the country. You don't want to go to jail out of the United States.
No.
But Julie stepped in and saved her bacon. And she was able to leave and depart with us. But she got a lot of stink eye stares from people in our group.
She had to go somewhere else, though, to a different resort. And
they kicked her out of the resort.
Yes,
we ran.
And she had to pay for another resort. Yeah. They gave her the option, go home now, or you have to go to another resort. And she did.
Yeah, and you're lucky you're not going to jail.
Yeah.
And hey, that's kind of it. It was not that big a deal. We've not had, because we have great travelers. We have great listeners that go with us. What were we going to say?
Steve is on the phone. He has something about this, the cruise and everything, and well, like the name of it.
Well, you mean the ship?
Yeah.
Amadeus 2. Well, let's talk to him. Steve, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine, thank you, AM and the PM.
Thank you.
I wish very much that I was joining you on that cruise. That's something I've always wanted to do, but unfortunately I'm not able to make it this year.
Well, I am a little shocked
that nobody has called to your attention the German name for what you were about to do.
What is it?
The German verb for travel is fahren, F-A-H-R-E-N, fahren.
Mm-hmm.
And then the noun is fart, F-A-H-R-T.
Fart.
So
we're all going. We're all going together on a great big fart.
No, Frank. What you're going on, and this is a very common term, is a Rhine fart.
Rhine farts.
So a Rhine fart would be a trip down up the Rhine. A trip on the Rhine River would be a Rhine fart.
Wow.
Exactly.
A Rhine.
So Rhine we're going to have like a 10-day, well, 7-night Rhine fart. 10-day
exactly.
trip. That's a long Rhine fart, buddy. No, exactly. I didn't know that. You should be going with us. You know more German already than I do. I don't know any. I know that nine means no, and that's it. I think that's it for me. And
yeah,
French, forget it.
That was one in high school German. We always giggled when they talked about a fart.
Well, of course you did. Of course you did. Steve, thank you. I wish you could go with us.
Okay, thanks, Frank.
If things change and you win Powerball, yeah, maybe you'll still be able to grab one of these four cabins.
Yeah, and Reinfart with us.
Yeah, you go Reinfart with us. Yeah. Right, thank you, Steve.
Thanks.
What was that other...
I think that's perfect for our show.
What was that thing... Ich liebe dich.
Ich liebe dich.
What did
that means
mean?
I love you. That's
sure? Come on.
German.
Sure?
Yes.
Ich liebe dich?
Ich liebe dich. Yeah, it means I love you. In German.
That doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like it should be I love you. It sounds like it should be something like pornographic.
You should download Google Translate and just say stuff into your phone.
Well, hang on. I got Google. Hang on.
Yeah, there you go. Just say I love you and then...
Oh, I got to change it. Hold on. I have to change it to German. I've got Spanish in here. So let me try.
My niece took
English to
German, and she went to Germany. She was an exchange student over in Germany, and they had an exchange student come here.
Okay, I just typed in. Oh my goodness, you're right. Here, it'll say it for you. I wonder
what?
If you can do it. Here. What? This is. I typed in "I love you," folks. You gotta. If you go with us, you gotta have this app on your phone. It's just called Google Translate. I typed in "I love you," and then it prints out I C H ich L I E B E liebe D I C H dick ich liebe dich. And it says it. And it says it for you here.
Ich liebe dich.
Yeah, there you go.
I
forgot. I remembered that phrase, but I didn't remember what it meant. Boy, this, and I think it's just free. Just Google Translate, and you could put English to German to French. Oh, here, let's see. French, I love you in French. Je t'aime. Let's see. I'll let her say.
Je t'aime.
Je t'aime.
Je t'aime.
Je t'aime.
Je t'aime.
Je t'aime. I love this thing. So if you go with us, download this app, Google Translate, because it's going to be, it'll come in handy, I think. So that's it. Four cabins. I anticipate that tomorrow, I'll say we have three or maybe two cabins, and in a week or two, they'll be all gone. Does anybody or did anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Wow. It's interesting the way he said that, almost in a reserved way, like he's hesitant to share it with us, but he will. Tim Woodburn, everybody. Tim, it's all yours.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to do something Saturday, and I'm curious as to all your reactions as to whether or not this would ever happen to you. And occasionally in my line of work as a private investigator, I do knock and talks with people whom I believe are parents of children that they gave up for adoption.
Ooh. Ooh. What's it called?
Knock and talk.
I call it a knock and talk. Where
see, that sounds German. Knock and talks.
Yeah.
Ich liebe dich knock and talks.
Well, Reinfart.
Reinfart. Ich liebe dich knock and talks.
I stole the phrase from. I stole the phrase. It's actually a police phrase where they use it where they don't have a warrant to search somebody's house, but they still want to talk to the person inside. They do a knock and talk and see if they'll be willing to communicate on an investigation without a warrant. It's actually a police phrase, but. The knock and talks that I do are for people who don't know who their real parents are. They hire me to find them, and then I find them. And then I ask the client, okay, and I found them. Now what do you want me to do? And most of them get, especially the females, get real nervous, and they don't know whether or not they should intrude on their life or whatnot and so forth and so on. And so I'm just curious as to how you guys would react if I knocked on your door, mm-hmm. which I'm about to do this Saturday mm-hmm. after having a really long conversation with a client this morning. I'm going to do this Saturday. I'm going to walk up to this door. I'm going to have adoption papers in my hand. I'm going to have proof that the individual is the parent of my mm-hmm. client. And I'm going to say, my name's Tim Woodburn. I'm a private investigator. You had a child on this date, and that child hired me to find you, and now I found you. Are you interested in meeting them?
Let me ask you a question. Does the person know they have a child?
Well,
is this
of course, a female would know because right. she would give birth. She would have given that? Birth. Right. But okay. but the male wouldn't in this case.
So you're saying to the woman, I found your daughter or son.
Or it might be a father. It doesn't have to be a woman.
And you're asking them if they're interested in connecting and meeting. Okay?
In your guy's case, it would probably mm-hmm. be a scenario where you fathered a child. The woman didn't tell you, but she listed your name on the birth certificate.
Oh boy!
And then I knocked on your door and said, you have a child that you don't know about, and you've got grandkids that you don't know about. Are you interested in meeting this person? I've beyond a reasonable doubt belief that you are the father of a child. Are you interested in meeting that child?
This is a great question.
Because Limey's single and Frank, you're married. Dan, you're just
Dan
living
is
in,
being promiscuous.
He's just
Dan lives in
sin. Right, right. Yeah. So you guys are in three different scenarios. How would this uproot your life? If I've had doors slammed in my face. Only happened once. I've had people break down in tears. I've had, you know, most people want to talk and they're intrigued. But I'm just curious how you guys would react if that knock came on your door.
I'll go first. If you came to my door and you said, I have proof that you have a daughter or son, and in my, and I'm thinking, when you say, do you want, I think my answer in my current situation, married, would be no, I don't. I don't think my wife would be real receptive to me going to her going, by the way, I've got another child. Would you like to meet him?
What if you happened before you married your wife?
I don't know what she would do. Huh?
What if it was before you met your wife, theoretically?
That would be different. I think I'd say yes.
Before you met her, and what if you didn't even know about it? What if you didn't know if she... the girl.
I still think it happened before I met my wife, and even though I didn't know about it, I do think I'd like to meet my son or daughter.
Yeah.
If it happened, let's say something after I was married, and I, you know, and then somebody had a show.
You would not face the music.
I do not want to meet and go away and never come back to my house, Mr. Woodburn. I don't want to know this kid. I don't think. I think this might.
I know someone that this very thing happened to.
How was the reaction?
Not very long ago. The reaction for him was tremendous, and he has a relationship with his son now.
He did not know he had the son?
No.
Wow.
He never knew it was born.
No. And now he has a relationship, and his wife divorced him. He was.
Well, come on. She divorced him because of that?
Yes.
Why? See? Yeah. That's why sometimes it's not a good idea to let her know that.
But he didn't know, and then he wanted to have a relationship, and he's, you know, hey, I would be...
That's a tough one. I mean, it really is. That's a tough question.
I think I would be open to it because this person had a life before they met you.
Right.
At some point.
What about you? You
don't want to know. The first question out of my mouth would be, do I owe any back child support?
Oh, man.
If, like, depending on the answer, I mean, like, you know, in reality, though, no, yeah, I'd want to have a relationship
child. Let's say the child is 19, so you're not going to have to be too late.
No, there's no child support, yeah.
Yeah, no, then, yeah, sure, of course. I mean, that would be kind of wonderful.
It's a common question that guys ask me, though. When I've probably done this 50 to 75 times.
Uh-huh.
And when it's a male under 40, it's so hilarious that you just said that because that's the first question out of their mouth. What does she want? Am I being sued for child support?
I'm assuming when you do this that the child, whether the child is 19 or 20 or wants to meet the father or the mother.
Mostly,
or you wouldn't be there to reconnect.
I've never represented a minor in this situation. It's always been an adult, usually well into their 30s, if not older, who's finally made the decision to have the courage to try and connect with their real parents, even though they were raised by adoptive parents.
Now, let's say there's a 20-year-old boy, and you go knock on the door of his dad. His dad did not know he had a son.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad says, no, I don't want to meet the kid, sorry, and closes the door. You can't then go back to the 20-year-old boy and say, well, he didn't want to meet you, but here's his address, and here's his... You can't do that.
Yes, I can. That's exactly what
I... So if the kid wants to go knock on the door... That's just up to the kid.
But that's why they hire me, is because a lot of times people don't have the courage to face the rejection that they fear, and so they hire a third party to go and do it for them.
I think that makes all the sense in the world. If I'm the child, and I'm, let's say, 25 years old,
mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I can't even imagine what's in your head and your heart is pounding when you go knock on the door of somebody you know is a parent who doesn't even know they're your parent. I think I'd have a third party just kind of soften the blow.
I
get it.
And you want answers. You want to know why.
Right.
Why did you give me up for adoption if you knew that you had a kid?
Well, third party.
Well, they might not have been given up for adoption, though. You could have just gotten a girl pregnant and she never told you.
Right? Well, that's true.
But having a third party like Tim is kind of important as well because, you know, you just get some random person coming up to your doorstep and just be like, hey, I'm your child, you know, and they just bring out some ex-girlfriend's name from the past or whatnot, you know, which you can find on Facebook research.
I forgot to tell the listeners that Slimy, you and Tim are going on this trip with us. So the listeners will get to meet both of you. You guys will be sharing a cabin. Let's see how that goes. And think about this scenario, Slimy.
Please be two beds.
You go to Amsterdam. You go to Amsterdam. It's a red light district. Prostitution is legal.
Mm-hmm.
You go over there and have a good time. You're a single guy. And then you come back home. It was a great trip. And then 20 years from now,
mm-hmm.
an Amsterdam prostitute calls you and says,
oh boy.
Is this Trevor Phillips? And you said, yes, it is. And she goes, I want you to say hello to your son. And the little Amsterdam boy gets on there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. I mean, you go over there boy. Now. We go to, on this trip.
I've named him Timothy. What the?
You'd be surprised at the reactions. You got. Wow. It's funny because you guys have all had different reactions, and Frank's had different theories and stuff. And I've. This is.
I
such
didn't
a
ask
wide...
about money because I assumed this would be a kid right. over 18. So mm-hmm. I didn't ask. Ooh, do I owe anything? Now, yeah, right. if the kid's 12, you're gonna want to know. Oh boy, does mom want some help and some money? And oh, here we go. Now that could bust up a marriage. You got to go tell your wife. Well, I know money's tight, but it's going to be even tighter because now I have to write a check every month to the child I have that you didn't know about. Yeah, there goes a marriage.
That's a whole different investigation when you've had a child, if a woman's had a child and the dad escaped from paying child support and they haven't seen him for about 5 years and then she gets her gander up and she wants to find out where he works so she can garnish his wages. That's a whole different type of situation. Yeah, I've been down that road.
We're just talking about reconnecting. Right. I'm just talking about an adult child.
I'm talking about the possible reuniting or at least meeting of a real parent with their real child. And after all these years, in this case, this weekend, the individual that I represent is in almost 50.
The child?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. So you're looking for somebody that could, it's probably in their 70s, or maybe 80s.
Yep. Exactly.
A 50-year-old mm-hmm. who, for the first time,
yep.
maybe is going to have a face-to-face meeting with
who's sending
male?
Me is an intermediary.
50-year-old male?
It is not. It's actually a female.
So she's going to meet her mom or dad for the first time right. after all these years. I think it's huge.
Yeah.
If I were adopted or been in an orphanage, whatever, I think it's odd if you didn't at some point just be curious and want to know who your biological mother
right.
and father. That's just not normal to not want to know that.
It's been my experience.
But there are people who never. They're adopted. They don't care. They gave them up. They don't want to meet them. Mm-hmm. Done. Yeah. They don't care.
Well, this is a mother-daughter potential reuniting this particular investigation. And, you know, it's been my experience that people over 60, as you get older, you get a little bit more sensitive and you get a little less confrontational and adversarial and you get a little bit more, I guess, sentimental about things that you've done in your past. And usually those type of reunitings are successfully accomplished and happily accomplished.
The woman we're taking dance lessons from is 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I think either this week or next week, she said, she's going to meet her mom. It's exactly what you're talking about. She's going to meet her mom for the very first time.
How and why?
I don't remember all the details, but she already met an aunt. These are family members that she never, ever met. And I don't know if she was adopted. I got to get the rest of the story from her, but I know she met an aunt, and it went so well, she was almost in tears talking about it. She met a couple other family members, and now she is scheduled to go. She's talked to her mom. They've talked on the phone. They've texted back and forth an email, and it so far it's been wonderful. She cannot wait to meet her mom. They're going to meet in person, but the stage is already set because they've communicated, and they sent pictures back and photos. Now they just have to meet face-to-face. It's going to be huge. I can't even imagine how powerful that is.
Yep.
To meet a parent you never met before. Anything else with Berkshire?
Real quick, this is sort of a breaking news, sort of an operating. Did any of you guys in your history of radio here in St. Louis ever work with a meteorologist by the name of Ben Abel?
Yes, I know who I know.
I know who he is, but yeah. I didn't.
He passed away.
He had to be up there.
He was 86. They're reporting locally that he died earlier this week in a nursing home. He was 86 years old.
Oh, Ben Abel. Ben Abel was a staple, a regular part of weather on St. Louis radio. And I don't remember which stations, but I know that name from years ago. Yeah, big name in weather. National Weather Service,
right.
I think.
Worked a lot at KMWX in at 90.7 FM for about 30 years.
Vic Alrighty. Said that he has a like a story.
Well, I only got a couple of minutes. So, Vic, I got about 2 minutes. Welcome to 590 The Fan. What's up?
Hey, first of all, I'm AM in the PM.
Thank you. That's good to hear.
And I've been listening a long time, Frank, since the 104 days, probably.
Wow.
Early. Okay, that would be 19. Yeah. Well, 87, we went over there to 104.
You know, you talk about people that have a strain, you know, kids that they don't know about and that. I'll tell you, about 4 years ago, I had to fight with my wife. It didn't cost me my marriage or anything, but we were estranged from our daughter, and she was pregnant, and it's the only grandchild that we'll probably ever have, and I had to fight with my wife. I told her, don't mention our daughter's name to me again, ever.
Wow.
You know, and 2 or 3 months down the road, she woke me up. She was on her cell phone with our daughter and told her that she wanted to have a relationship with our grandson. And my wife these days, he'll be 4 at the end of April. Right. She'll do anything for him.
Sure.
You know, you never know what life brings you.
No, life is not easy for anybody. We see other people and we think, boy, they got it made. No, they don't. Once you get all the story and you learn everything about them, we've all had hurdles to get over and tribulations and whatever. And I'm glad you have a relationship. That 4 years old, what a cute age, too. I'm glad you have a relationship.
Oh, he's so funny. We had him over for Christmas dinner, and I said something, and he looked at me and said, stop talking, eat your dinner, and don't get up until you're done.
I'm not kidding. Little kids, 3, 4, 5, they're hilarious. They're actually, absolutely hilarious what they say.
He's
well, good
so
for
funny,
you.
Frank. I'll tell you what, he, my wife and I have birthdays in January, and they brought us our birthday presents. And my daughter typically buys us concert tickets in the summer. So I pull that stuff out and he goes, you know, my daughter said, you gotta tell me what you want him to call you. You know, your grandson calls you Grumpy. Well, I told my granddaughter that I told my daughter that I wanted him to call me, Pappy, but he doesn't call me Pappy. He calls me Happy.
That's
so,
all right.
He goes, reach into your bag, Happy. You've got another present in there. He brought me whoopee cushions.
My grandson loves whoopee cushions. My grandson's gone through like 2 or 3 whoopee cushions. He loves them. Hey, Vic, I got to run. I'm out of time. Good for you. Congratulations. I'm glad you have that relationship.
Your show, and I love the crew that's there now.
No, well, thank you.
It's
thank
wonderful.
You.
Wonderful. Right.
Thank you, Vic.
Thanks, Frank.
That's nice. He likes you guys. See?
Aw, thank
People
you.
Starting to like you. First Community Credit Union, Dr. Doug Pernikoff comes in after the news at 4 o'clock. You have a pet, get ready to call. We'll give you the numbers after the news. First Community Credit Union is a banking facility. I'm trying to find another way to tell you something about First Community Credit Union, but I've told you everything. They have fresh popcorn at all the locations. That's not a reason to change where you do your banking, but here are a couple of reasons that you might want to consider. Very competitive rates. They're famous for their low rates, especially auto loan rates. All right? There are over 40 locations. Solid, stable, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Okay? Everything that you do at your bank, you can do at First Community Credit Union. All the services you have, they have them, and maybe more. That's it. Just think about it. Come join us. Become a member. You'll say what we say. Wow, this is a great place to bank. And it is. First Community. Oh, wedding loans. Don't forget about that. You people planning weddings for later in the year, running a little tight, they get expensive. Wedding loans, they have them at First Community Credit Union. More at firstcommunity.com. Don't go anywhere because Dr. Doug Pernikoff is with us after we check in with John Londoff. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. It's up to Attorney General William Barr. That's President Trump's take on what will happen when Special Counsel Robert Mueller hands in his final report on the Russia investigation. There are reports it could happen as early as next week, and it's unclear how much of it will be made public. Meanwhile, the president is brushing off speculation that he may be on the verge of firing Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats.
I haven't even thought about it.
Coats and Trump are set to be at odds over threat assessments on